Turn to Luke chapter 22 in your Bibles this morning, please. Luke chapter 22. Speak about the flawed disciple. Luke chapter 22. Begin reading in verse 31. Luke 22, 31. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt deny me, thrice deny that thou knowest me." And he said unto them, "When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything?" And they said, "Nothing." Then said he unto them, "But now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end." And they said, "Lord, behold, here are two swords." And he said to them, "It is enough." And he cast them out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, "Pray ye that ye enter not into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, as his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." You know, the Bible has a number of individuals that are tremendous examples for us, sources of encouragement and examples of courage and endurance and godly living. You got Job. I mean, what that man went through and all the suffering that he endured, and yet he would not sin with his tongue, at least not initially. But try going through what he went through and see how you fare. Then there's Joseph. And all that he went through, and probably fared through that better than Job did. What a good example he is. And Joshua, one of my favorite characters in the Bible. But what an example of courage and leadership. And he was a disciple of Moses. So Moses is credited for the results of Joshua's life. And of course, David, the man after God's own heart. And you can go on through so many in the Old Testament. Great examples to us. And when you come to the New Testament as well, and Paul probably stands head and shoulders above all. A man that a fierce opponent of Christianity, who sought to beat and imprison and even put to death the believers of Jesus Christ. And man, when he got saved, man, he hit the ground running and he never turned back. Even when he was out of God's will, he was still serving God. How many of us could say that? What an example. You look at these individuals and you know, Paul was such a significant role in establishing the New Testament church. Then there's Peter. Hot-headed, impulsive, flawed Peter. Not my most favorite character in the Bible, and probably because he resembles very much the individual who looks back at me from a mirror in the morning. I'd like to be like Paul, but I'm probably a lot more like Peter. But there's a lot I think we can learn from this man and to see the progress in his life as he began to serve God. First, let's take a look at Peter He was a common man. Look at Acts chapter 4. There's a lot of verses we could look at, and passages. But just take this one, for example. Acts chapter 4 and verse 10. This, of course, is after the resurrection and the ascension into heaven. And Peter is now filled with the Holy Ghost and boldly preaching the word. And in verse 10 it says this, "Be it known unto you all, and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And this is a stone which is set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." This is Peter's preaching. Now look at the response, verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness in Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Peter was a common man. He was a commercial fisherman. Usually some of the baser sort of humanity. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about that work in a field at mechanics or something like that. Usually those are the rougher crowd of men. That's what Peter was. Common man. Got his hands dirty, worked with his muscles. Unlearned and ignorant is what they said of him. Well, the ignorant part is probably an error because he wasn't ignorant. He might have been uneducated, but he wasn't ignorant. And so that's true of so many laborers. They may not be highly educated, but that doesn't make them ignorant. My dad never finished eighth grade. But he wasn't an ignorant man. He was intelligent. And maybe he wasn't a rocket scientist, but there was a lot of stuff he could do with his hands. He built his own house. He was a truck driver, machine operator. Man, there was stuff that he could do behind the controls of a machine that most of us couldn't even begin to do. Now, some of you probably could, but. And that's what Peter was. And this job that he had as a commercial fisherman required some discipline. These guys fished at night. When everybody else is in bed sleeping, these guys are out working. And then as the sun begins to come up and people are starting to get out of bed, they're just coming to shore. And now they've got to deal with their catch and get their nets mended for the next day. So this is a tough job. This is what Peter was, and this is who one of them who God chose to be his disciple, this common man, disciplined, committed, and hardworking, in business with his brothers who brought him to Jesus, the common man, but chosen by the Lord. You see, sometimes we get this idea that for me to be used of God, I've got to have so many years of Bible college and so many years of apprenticeship and all this nonsense. Now, I went to Bible college, and I benefited by that. You know, I know some preachers out there that never went to a day of formal schooling in their lives, and probably some of the best preachers across America. Education doesn't necessarily make you. You know what God needs? Yielded to him.
Amen.
And that's what you see in Peter. Now, it took a while to get there, but a man that wanted to serve God, disciplined, committed, though untrained and uneducated and unpolished, he was chosen to God. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 shows us that as Jesus Christ sat down to choose the 12 apostles. And as you look at this list of men, you know, several of them were fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector, so there was an educated man among them. And there was another one, I forget which one it was now, but another one that might have had some kind of a more of a professional job. But these other guys were basically common laborers. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. And when he had called unto them his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. So he pulled these guys together. These 12 is what he started with. And he gave them this power to perform all of these miracles. And they did, regardless of their education. The first, Simon. The very first one he mentions is Peter. Simon Peter, who is called Peter. And Andrew his brother, and James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother. These were the men that Peter was in business with in their fishing. Then there was Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Well, Judas was a treasurer. Certainly he was of the devil, but he was an educated man. These were chosen by Jesus Christ. Verse 5, these 12 sent forth, he sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely have you received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your money, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Lord says, I'm calling you guys from this varied background of individuals. Different men, the common laborer, the tax collector, the treasurer. But I'm giving you all the same responsibility, the same calling, the same purpose. And he sent them forth. And Peter is one of the inner circle. Look at Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, this is Jesus was speaking, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. These three men. And there's several times you see that these three are singled out and formed kind of an inner circle with Jesus Christ. So he had all 12 disciples, but then of those 12, these three were say, you know, they're deacons maybe, or the board of directors or whatever, but an inner circle that Jesus Christ spent some special time alone with, and Peter was among them, this common man. This ordinary man, but God desired to use him. God had a purpose for him. Secondly, I want you to see this. Peter was a stumbling disciple. He had struggles along the way. Who hasn't? He failed the Lord several times. He wavered in his faith. Look at Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 28. Peter answered him and said, Lord, this is Jesus Christ, is out on the Sea of Galilee. They'd been sent across on a ship, and the Lord stayed back to pray a while, and they spent all night trying to get across, weren't making any headway. And the Lord comes walking by in the middle of the night. And first they're afraid, and then when they figure out who it is, Peter calls out to him, and he says, And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, verse 27, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee out of the water. Peter speaks up right away. That's his nature. Often speaking before he thinks, but anyway, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out there. Verse 29, he said, come. Okay, you asked. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he's afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I know sometimes we focus upon that last statement that Jesus made to Peter. O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? But he got out of the ship. Amen. While the leaven stayed in. He may have sunk, but he walked on the water before he sank. Amen. And then the Lord delivered him. That's something the others didn't experience. Right. Amen. Oh, he was impulsive. He was quick to speak, maybe before he should. But he got the opportunity. And we can criticize him for his doubt, but he did have at least a little faith. Yeah. Lord, if it's you, bid me come. I believe you can let me do that too, Lord. And he did, until the wind and the waves kind of got his attention away from the Lord. So he wavered and sank. He stumbled. But the Lord pulled him back up again. Proverbs says, a just man falls seven times and rises up again. He tried. You know who doesn't ever fail? Somebody who never tries. You know who never is successful in anything for God? Somebody who doesn't try. You got to try once in a while. He wavered in his faith and sank. His actions were often misdirected. Look at Matthew 16, verse 15. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? This is again is Jesus Christ speaking. And so they go on, he asks this question, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right there with the answer, quick. Look at his answer, the Lord's response. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. He's commended. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now he's just been commended by the Lord for his answer, his good answer. Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Barjona. Now look, verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from me, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Oh, no, I'm with you, Lord. I'm going to protect you. Well, hold on, Peter. Your actions are a little misdirected there, boy. Because the Lord just said what's going to happen to him. And he's contradicting the Lord. He thought he could defend God. Look at verse 26, or chapter 26, excuse me. Chapter 26 of Matthew, verse 33. Matthew 26, 33, Peter answered and said to him, though all men be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Quick to speak again. Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Hold on, Peter. Because before morning, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. So everybody joined in. Yeah, all right, Peter, we're with you. Yeah, Lord, nobody's going to get you. Hold on. Not listening. Thought he could defend God. Look at Matthew 17. Peter stumbled a few times. Matthew 17, verse 1. This is another image of that inner circle of three that the Lord had chosen as well. Matthew 17, 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. So they're separate from all the other disciples at this time, just the four of them alone on this mountain. And was transfigured before them. Jesus Christ was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Let's build some tabernacles. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Listen, Peter. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sorrowful. It wasn't about building tabernacles. It was about seeing Jesus Christ in his glorified image. Amen. Like he will be for all of eternity. He wasn't listening. He sought memorials. He failed to pray. Go back to Matthew chapter 26 again. We've read this already, but it was up as Jesus was there praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says this in verse 36. Actually, we didn't read this. We stopped short of this one. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Okay, guys, I'm going to go pray. Stay here. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, again, that inner circle, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Pray with me, guys. Then saith he unto them, verse 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto them, Peter, what, couldn't ye not watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you just play for 1 hour, Peter? Because just before this is where the Lord's warned him, you're going to deny me three times, Peter. I've prayed for you. You need to pray for yourself. Verse 40, and he cometh to the disciples and finds them asleep, or verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So he tells him again, pray, Peter. He went again in the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except that I drink it all, drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, and for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith to them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. So the guys that said they were going to defend him to the death won't even keep their eyes open long enough for an hour to pray for him. Failure. Failed to pray. He lacked discernment. Peter fought when he should have submitted, and submitted when he should have fought. Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 51. Behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew a sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. This is as the soldiers come to arrest him there in the garden after they've prayed and all of that. And Peter's been embarrassed a couple of times, fallen asleep, warned that Satan wants to get you, Peter. Not me. And now he's ready to prove it. As these armed soldiers come to arrest Jesus Christ, it doesn't say it here, it's one of the other gospels, says that it was Peter. He whips out that sword, shunk, off goes the guy's ear. I just wonder if the Lord just didn't say, oh, hold it, Peter, and diverted that so it just took his ear. But nevertheless, he whips out the sword, takes off the guy's ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again the sword into its place. Put it away, Peter. It's not time to fight. He fought when he should have submitted. For all that take up the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? See, Peter's standing in the way of the will of God right now. Because this betrayal and arrest and the ultimate crucifixion was all part of the plan and purpose of God to provide redemption for us. It's got to be fulfilled, Peter. You can't stop this. I don't want you to stop this. But Peter's ready to fight. He fought when he should have submitted. Then you read later on in this chapter, pick it up in verse 66. He submitted when he should have fought. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then they did spit on his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with their palms of their hands. As Jesus Christ is before the soldiers and being questioned and beaten and so forth, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? While this is going on, verse 69, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. You're one of his. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. No, not me. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto them they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Your accent gives you away, boy. Yeah. You're one of his. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And as Jesus said, immediately the cock crow. Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. He was warned, and yet he fell asleep when the Lord told him he needed to be praying. He submitted when he should have fought. And I won't take the time to look at it, but you go to Galatians and you see Paul challenged him about another issue when he should have stood. He didn't. Peter stumbled a lot. But something happened. Look at Luke chapter 22. The text we started with this morning. As the Lord speaking with him again, I want you to read verses 31 to 34 again with me of Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now that's a pretty stern warning. That's a warning the Lord never gave to anybody else. They realize Satan is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere all the time. He's not God. He's powerful. There's no question about that. But he has limitations. And so if Satan is concentrating on somebody personally, that person's important. And the Lord said, Satan desires you that he may sift you as wheat. And he got a hold of them, didn't he? Satan was intent on destroying Peter before he got a chance to be a threat to him. Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You see, these men were chosen of disciples, as disciples of Jesus Christ. They had the power of God upon their lives. But do you realize there was one thing missing still? They weren't converted. They hadn't been saved yet. Because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet to initiate the gift of God, which through eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That was started by his shedding of his blood and taking upon himself our sins. Bearing our sins in his own body on a tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. He's not converted yet. Conversion isn't even a possibility yet. He says, but when thou art converted. That's why Satan wanted him. I want you to strengthen your brethren, Peter. He needed to be converted first. He had some, even after his conversions, he still had some struggles. But all these we've looked at so far preceded his conversion. And he's still stuck with Jesus Christ through this. There's one more thing that I believe that he needed, and that was to be broken. Look at John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verse 15. This is after the resurrection. Jesus Christ has spent 40 days with the disciples before he ascended up into heaven. He ate with them. He talked with them. He encouraged them. He gave them some more teaching. Verse 15, it says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He singles him out again. Peter, do you love me? And of course, Peter's answer, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith to him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. Why do you keep asking me, Lord? Because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Had to be broken, humbled, brought to the end of himself. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. And before honor is humility. God's got a place for Peter. God's got a role that he desires for him to fulfill. A mission that he wants him to accomplish. But before that honor, he's got to be humble. Because Peter was proud. That's why he spoke every time first. That's why he jumped without thinking. Because he just assumed that he could do it. And if he couldn't, he was going to die trying. That's not what God wanted. God wanted that humble submission. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. And I believe this is a problem that each and every saint struggles with, especially when they're younger. And when you talk about being broken, isn't that what happened to Job in his experience? I broke him. Joseph was broken. God's got to break us. God's got to humble us for us to be able to be used fully for his glory and honor. Because that selfish, goal, that striving in and of ourselves has to be dealt with and gotten out of the way so that we submit to God to do what he wants us to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. I've had the privilege of having some good men help me along the way in the ministry, especially when I was in Bible school, some men who I highly looked up to, greatly admired and appreciated, and was greatly impacted by their lives. But you know, not all of those men are still in the ministry. They fell. And when you begin to think that you are above it, you are in trouble. Amen. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There's not a one of us that's above any sin. Under the right circumstance, we can all be tempted and even give in to the temptation. I know that's true of me. And I know it's true of each of you as well.
Amen.
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. And that brokenness is part of getting to the place of being able to overcome the temptation. One more passage, go to 1 Peter chapter 5. I believe when Peter wrote these letters, he'd been through most of his worst failures. And now God's using him to write these two epistles. In the first one, he says this in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I can almost hear Peter saying, I learned this the hard way. Don't do as I did. Learn from my example. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And I believe Peter did get exalted. Some say he was crucified upside down by his choice, because he didn't believe he deserved to be crucified in the same manner Jesus Christ was. And again, I can't prove that from the scripture, that's just tradition, but that is what's commonly reported. But he became that humble servant, used of God, common, unlearned fisherman. And I don't care who you are, I don't care how old you are, if you will just let God use you, he will.
Amen.
For his glory and honor. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Father, too often times we think that it's because of who or what we are that makes us useful to you. And what an error that is. In reality, it's who you are. In our submission to that, that makes us useful to you. God, help us in these troublesome times in which we live to be available and to be usable by you. Father, if anyone here this morning thinks that somehow they're unqualified, they're not capable, they're not prepared, help them to realize the only preparation is in the heart. Yeah. And that surrender and submission to you. God, speak to the hearts of your people this morning. Challenge them with these words, I pray. And if anyone here has never trusted you as Savior, may they realize that salvation in and of itself is a gift. It's not something we do, we can earn, we strive to achieve, but simply what we receive from your hand, what you have done for us, that which we could not do for ourselves. God, I pray that you can use what I've given this morning, that it has been from you, to speak to your people's hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn to number 352 in your hymn book.